I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. And it's tax season, everybody, so hold on tight.
Here's what I want to do. I want to simplify the tax code. I want to cut taxes.
President Donald Trump campaigned on simplifying the tax code, and here he is saying just that in 2015 with Sean Hannity.
I want to simplify the tax code. I want to make it great for the middle class. The middle class is being killed. I want to put H&R Block, it's an ambition of mine, to put H&R Block out of business.
But if the president signs the Taxpayer First Act, it could do just the opposite. Have you heard about this bill? With a little over a week away from tax day, Congress is set to pass this new legislation that could limit the options for American taxpayers in the future. One provision that's raising questions is that it would make it illegal for the IRS to offer a free e-filing service for taxpayers. On Tuesday, the Taxpayer First Act passed the House of Representatives with bipartisan support.
I'd like to thank my friends and my dear friend from Georgia, Congressman Lewis, and also Mike Kelly, for their work on this legislation, for supporting the modernization of the IRS and protecting innocent Americans from IRS abuse.
GOP Georgia Representative Doug Collins there. And now the bill heads to the Senate. You might already use an e-filing service like TurboTax or H&R Block, and you probably pay for that because filing your taxes is not easy.
I used TurboTax. It took me about 6 hours.
I filed my taxes myself, and it wasn't easy.
The tax laws were so complicated, I had to hire somebody.
Happy to pay for an accountant to do my taxes.
At one point, I made an error.
We use an accountant because clergy taxes are extremely difficult.
We decided we'd invest in the self-employed version of TurboTax every year, and we've never looked back.
And you told us those services aren't cheap.
I just mail them to my guy in Kansas City. Pay him $100.
$600.
$125.
$200.
$495 a year.
$1,000.
Hannah Leventova is a reporter for Mother Jones, and she's been covering changes to tax law. Hannah, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So the Taxpayer First Act, is it really taxpayers first?
So that is up for debate right now. There is one provision in this bill that has gotten a lot of attention over the last few days that would essentially prohibit the IRS, the tax collection agency, from creating its own free online system of tax filing. And it's a provision that the tax preparation industry, so companies like H&R Block or Intuit, which own TurboTax, that's a change that they have pushed for many years. The reason I say that it's up for debate whether this is a Taxpayer First Act is because it's not like the IRS currently has a free government-run system for us to file our taxes already. It's not getting rid of something that exists. It's simply preventing it from happening permanently. That being said, there are a lot of other provisions in the bill that both Republicans and Democrats see as positive, which is why this bill sailed through the House just a couple of days ago and is expected to pass the Senate as well. So there's a lot of debate about that question right now.
I mean, what's interesting to me here is, A, that there is no current, as you mentioned, the IRS does not have a system in place, first of all. And second of all, how these private companies have essentially lobbied the federal government to get this across. What would it do for them? How would TurboTax and H&R Block benefit from this?
So currently, they are part of basically a coalition of big tax prep companies that have an agreement with the IRS that says, okay, IRS, you won't create your own filing system for taxes, but we, this coalition of tax prep companies, will offer a free file option to families that are below a certain income threshold. So ostensibly, this kind of free file option still exists. The reality is that by stopping or pushing the government to not create a free file system, you know, TurboTax, H&R Block, they essentially get more customers because if you keep taxes complicated, if you keep more red tape around how taxes work, people will pay tax preparers to help them file their taxes.
And how long has the tax prep business been involved in lobbying Congress? I mean, is this something, because the timing seems quite curious. We're a week away from tax day and this comes out.
So on this particular question of preventing the IRS from creating its own free file system, the tax prep industry has been lobbying Congress on this for a long time, and they've spent millions of dollars doing it. So this is not the first year that this has happened. They just in the last year alone, in 2018, H&R Block and Intuit, which owns TurboTax, spent over $6 million on lobbying on various issues, not just this. But, you know, the thing that they have continued to lobby for over years has been kind of maintaining this agreement that already exists between the IRS and tax prep companies, which I mentioned. So they've spent money kind of maintaining the status quo as various proposals have popped up to say, hey, maybe the IRS could create a free file system. So, for example, Elizabeth Warren has repeatedly filed legislation proposing that the government create its own free file system. That legislation has never passed. So this is not the first year that this question has arisen or that tax prep companies have lobbied Congress.
Now, to make it a little more complicated, there is something else called the Free File Alliance. What is that?
So the Free File Alliance is a coalition of big tax prep companies that offers a privately run, industry run, free file option for families below a certain threshold. So right now, the IRS and this Free File Alliance, this coalition of tax prep companies, have what's called a memorandum of understanding. And every few years, they renegotiate this memorandum, which essentially says, we, the IRS, we won't create our own free file system, but you, tax prep companies, pledge to continue running this Free File Alliance and offering a free file option to families that are below a certain income threshold. And the Free File Alliance currently says that about 70% of Americans are actually eligible for their free file option, so millions and millions and millions of people. But data has shown that only somewhere in the ballpark of 2 to 3% of Americans who are eligible to file for free actually do it. So this option is being really, really underutilized, and a lot of people are paying money to file taxes that don't need to be paying that money.
You said 70% of taxpayers are eligible for these services, but only 3% use them. Is that because they don't know? They haven't been advertised? Like, what is that's a huge gap.
It is a huge gap. So there has been some great reporting, namely from ProPublica on this, showing that the Free File Alliance critics will say that they underpromote their free file option or that they essentially use it to market some of their paid products. So that's one possibility as to why there's this huge gap that people just don't know. And the argument from tax experts who want an IRS-run system is, well, hey, most people know the IRS. If the IRS ran a free option, if it was just straight government-run and not a third party, well, presumably more people would know and they would save money filing their taxes.
Now, what about the issue here of taxes in general? I mean, I think about the tax code and you're someone that's seeped in it. I don't know much about taxes. If somebody gave me a traditional form and said, here, fill them out, I would not really have enough to be able to do that on my own. Are Americans educated enough about these issues in general?
You know, taxes are wonky. They just are. And I think that's just true across the board. Taxes are complicated. Money is complicated. But a lot of other countries, dozens of other countries, many in Europe, have created government-run free file systems, which essentially is when the government tax agency, whatever it is, fills out your return for you. Because for most people with fairly uncomplicated finances, they kind of already have all the information they need. So in the UK and Germany, in many European countries, this is the norm. And so filing taxes is free and it's really fast. So the onus isn't necessarily on taxpayers to know the ins and outs of the tax code. The tax code is really complicated. But there are a lot of countries where the government has tried to streamline this process as much as possible to make it simple for their constituents.
We've been talking a lot about this particular provision with private tax prep companies, but what else does the bill do? Is there anything else that's positive for taxpayers?
So, yes, and that is why there was a lot of Democratic support for this bill when it passed the House. So one of the things that it does is that it would, if passed, it would stop private debt collectors from going after, from calling low-income taxpayers to go after their uncollected taxes or liabilities and things like that. It also offers millions of dollars in program assistance for low-income taxpayers, creates some new processes around fraud prevention and cybersecurity at the IRS. So there's a lot of other meaty stuff in this bill that a lot of Democrats have said they want to support and that this is their opportunity to get through. So when this was on the House floor a couple of days ago, you know, several new congressmen, so Katie Hill, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, spoke up about this, gave speeches and said, you know, we oppose the free filing provision. We oppose that. But at the same time, we're going to still support this bill because there's so much other good stuff in it.
And in terms of what happens next with the legislation, I mean, it sounds like it's pretty likely, with given the bipartisan support, to pass.
So now this bill heads to the Senate. And a couple of days ago, the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, Chuck Grassley, said that he was considering kind of avoiding the process of going through the Senate Finance Committee completely and just trying to get it to the floor faster, because a couple of days ago, before a lot of coverage of this provision, this was a fairly uncontroversial bill. It passed the House on a voice vote, which is a process that's typically used for kind of uncontroversial pieces of legislation. Now that there's been so much coverage of this free file option, I don't know if that's still going to happen, but it's headed to the Senate next and probably to the Senate Finance Committee for debate.
Hannah Leventova is a reporter for Mother Jones. Hannah, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
And we reached out to the White House to see if President Trump plans to sign this bill into law should it pass the Senate, but they did not provide us with a comment.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.